Well, I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to pray for the Lord to bless his word to us. Our Father, we thank you for this month of December. We thank you for how we come to the end of this year, and we have this, I don't know how it all worked out, but somehow we know Jesus wasn't probably born on December 25th, but we have this celebration of the birth of our King, our Saviour. And we are so looking forward to celebrating this with our family and friends and church and people in our community. And I just want to pause and just be so overwhelmed by Jesus coming, the light of the world, coming into our darkness, the one who has come to give us hope, to replace our hopelessness, to bring peace to a troubled world, to bring a love beyond measure. Lord, help us to see more than ever, more than any Christmas, the glory, the wonder of it all, the great God you are that's brought this about. May we get excited about Christmas and especially in doing what we can to share the good news with people around us. And I ask now that you would help us as we open to Luke's Gospel. We begin a new series. I pray that you would minister to us, Lord, through your Spirit. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to begin a new series on the Gospel of Luke. So what do you know about the Gospel of Luke? We've got four Gospels. And the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, are all different. And I don't know if you know this, it's good to know this. Matthew is a Gospel that is written to declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. There are many Old Testament references in Matthew because Matthew is seeking to help especially Jewish people be convinced that Jesus is the one. He is the one. He is the appointed King, the one who came to save us. Mark is the shortest gospel. If you're not into reading, Mark's gospel is great. It's short and punchy. And Mark is all about Jesus being the magnificent, the mighty, miracle-working Son of God. So that's a great gospel for all people. I'll skip Luke right now. And then we come to John. John's gospel, which is often my favourite, is all about Jesus being God. God. Jesus is God. He's one with the Father. And it's all about Jesus being God, and he's the one who gives eternal life. God and eternal life. That's Jesus. And so it's a very important gospel written to all people, Jews and Gentiles, the invitation to believe in him. So what about Luke? Well, Luke is a special gospel as well. And it's really interesting. Luke talks about Jesus being the Messiah, talks about Jesus being the Son of God, but it especially wants to bring home this wonderful truth that Jesus is the Son of Man. He became one of us. He took on flesh and blood. He walked with us and talked with us. He shared his life with us. That's why Luke has many touching stories of Jesus. While we have the story of the prodigal son seeking the lost sheep, him healing lepers. It's a beautiful gospel to bring out not just the fact that Jesus is God, but he is one of us. He chose to become one of us. Does that blow your mind away? Wow. He became like you and I. And Luke's gospel has the biggest account of Christmas in it, of Jesus taking on our human flesh and being born amongst us in a stable. So Luke's a magnificent gospel. I'm praying that we'll all get into it. Even read it yourselves as we go through this series. Read the Gospel of Luke and ask the Lord to help you see Jesus more clearly, that you might love him more dearly. You know, we've got an issue in the Christian church. There has been such a distortion on the real Jesus. We put all sorts of spins on him. And it's so refreshing and so important that we go back to the Bible and get a true and beautiful picture of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's so important we do that. You don't want to have a graven image in your mind of Jesus. You want the real Jesus. He's spectacular. He's glorious. So that's what we're going to see as we look at the Gospel of Luke. So let's begin. We're going to look at the first four verses. I know only verses 5 to 17 were read, but we're going to start looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And it begins with these words. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. It seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. That's the beginning of Luke's gospel. The author is Luke, and we see that Luke has gone out of his way to present to a friend, Theophilus, about the Jesus. The Jesus, the Christ. And it's interesting how Luke was not one of the original disciples. He's a second, third generation. So he does something very special. He has gone to eyewitnesses and servants of the word to find out about Jesus, to find out the truth. Now, who is this Luke? Well, we read in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, these words. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings. A physician. So that's why most of you will know this. He's known as Dr. Luke. He was a medical doctor. Not only that, he was a companion with Paul. He ministered to Paul, and he ministered with Paul in the gospel. That is Luke. And Luke had access to Paul, of course, and to his conversion story, and to others as well. He had access to Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus. That's why he was able to find out all about the story of the birth of Jesus, the stable, and the shepherds, and all those parts of the story. Because he was able to talk to Mary, and that's what he did. So I love all this. I love how Luke is this guy who went and did the research, painstakingly put it all together for his friend Theophilus and for us. That's pretty good, isn't it? And he's not just a doctor. You can really tell he's like an historian. He's got that sort of thing about him too. I'm going to find out exactly how it all went down. I want to find out exactly and accurately who Jesus is, what his life was about. So what I want to tell you from the very beginning, and you should have confidence in all the word, this word of God, including Luke's gospel, there is no embellished stories in it. There is no exaggeration. There's no making things bigger than they should. We have in the word of God, and especially Luke's gospel, a true and accurate account of the Christ. So why has that been given to us? Well, verse 4 tells us. Verse 4 says, speaking to his friend Theophilus through the Gospel of Luke, Luke says, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. So Luke knew it was very important that for us who read these words now, and even his friend Theophilus way back then, that we have an exact an account of Jesus. That's really important, isn't it? We don't want any made-up stories. We don't want any embellishments. We want the truth. So I want to say to you from the very beginning, I'm going to use this word faithful this morning a fair bit. We have, in Luke's gospel, a faithful word. A faithful and true and reliable word. You can build your life on everything you read here. It's absolutely true. It's not just because Luke was an accurate historian who did his research. There's something else too, isn't there? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was moving in his heart to give us a faithful and true word. I've got to tell you, this is so important. We're 2,000 years past all these things, and we can be confident. You can build your life upon it. Everything we read here, we have a magnificent account, a true account of the Christ. And I am so ecstatic about that. I'm so glad. You know, it's not just all these stories. Who knows what's happened to that story, Chinese whispers. No, we've got an accurate account. That should excite you. It should cause you to be invited to want to read it and to see Jesus so clearly. Praise God for his faithful word. And of course, it's not just Luke. The whole Bible's been watched over by God so that from Genesis to Revelation, we have something that the world has no idea. We have something that's just so, it's just treasure. It's gold. We have a true word. of God's character and glory and wonder and what he's done for us, his people. It's amazing. If you're not reading the Bible, what is wrong with you? It is like, it's not like any other book. It's like, it's incredible. God has preserved his word, a faithful word, because he loves us. He wants us to know the truth. So get into reading it. Before a New Year's resolution, get into reading it. Everyone should be reading the Bible. Your kids. I love how we give little Bibles out to the kids at Kids Club. We want them to read it themselves and to see Jesus. Now, the big part of this morning's message is going to be in the next section. And I'm going to read to you about the account involving some people. There's an angel involved. We find out that he's Gabriel. And we're going to read about Zacharias and Elizabeth and about an issue they had. And so let's read, I'm going to read first of all Luke chapter 1, 5 to 13. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias. On Herod, he's that bad dude, right? He's the one who's going to try and kill Jesus. So just remembering how it all linked together. And we read here that there was a priest named Zacharias. So he's a priest of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. So very priestly husband and wife. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. Good on them. That's how we should be. Yeah. What do you reckon? But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. So pretty much it's all over. And don't forget, back in their culture, that's a real stigma. If a woman couldn't have a child, that was a really, really hard thing to live with. Verse 8 says, now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And I like that little bit about by lot, he was, you know, randomly chosen. No, not so. God intervened. God knew what he's doing. Zacharias, this is the day when you're going to be alone in the temple because something's going to happen. All right, verse 10. And the whole crowd of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord, who we come to realize later on is Gabriel, appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. Altar of incense, right? This is like right next to the Holy of Holies. So that's where Zacharias is. And it says there, Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel and fear gripped him. Don't have to explain that. I'm sure you would be too. I would be. Oh boy. Can you imagine meeting a mighty angel, eh? Oh. But what does the angel have to say? What do angels have to say all the time? First words, don't be afraid. And isn't that good? God's angels are not there to strike us down. Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you'll give him the name John. So I'm just going to pause there. All right, so I'm going to bring out this word faithful, like I said. I look at that verse we just read, verse 13, and I love this. I love the fact that Zacharias is told that God had been hearing his petition. What petition especially? About his wife being able to bear a child. And like, they're old, advanced in years, which means that this prayer probably has been going on for a long time. And do you understand what's being said here? What the angel is saying, God has been faithfully hearing your prayer over all those years. Not one of your prayers has been missed. God faithfully has been hearing it. Isn't that amazing? And now it was time for the angel to declare to Zacharias, pretty good news, God's heard your prayer and he's going to answer it. Now I want you to get caught up with God's faithfulness. God is faithful. God is faithful hearing you. God is faithful answering your prayers. I hope you know the three things. God always answers prayer. What are they? Yes, no, and not maybe. Yes, no, and the next thing I would say, not yet. Not yet. I've had those in my life, the not yet prayers. God still answers it, but later on. So I want you to be caught up with a God who hears our prayers. He's faithful in hearing the prayers of his people and in answering those prayers. Now you might have some issues with God answering prayers. I want to assure you, the issue is with you. Because it's not with God. All right? God is faithful. We think he doesn't hear us. Isn't that right? We think that he's blocked us out. We think that he's not answering our prayers, but you're wrong. God hears and he answers. There's a lovely verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12 that says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers." So that means no one qualifies because no one's righteous. Because it says there, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Ah, hang on. We are righteous. We're righteous in Christ. All because of Jesus. Because he's made us righteous. Because he died for our sins and cleansed us and clothed us with his righteousness. We are righteous. And therefore God is able to say, "I see you and I'm attentive to everything you pray." Praise the Lord. What a faithful God. All right, now, the next big thing I want to highlight here is in the next few verses, not only is God faithful in hearing us and answering our prayers according to his will, let me now read verses 14 to 17. "You'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth," the birth of a son called John. Verse 15, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." Now that statement itself is incredible. That is really, 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 really rare. In fact, it doesn't happen. The only time we get filled with the Holy Spirit is when we open our heart to Jesus and trust in him. But John, this baby John, is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. And we actually realize that because when Mary comes pregnant with Jesus, the baby John just leaps for joy because of the Holy Spirit. Oh man, what an amazing thing. So we can tell straight away this baby John is going to be pretty special. Not as special as Jesus though. Okay, so keep reading. We're up to 16. "And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zacharias has just been told by this angel some pretty awesome things. Are you switched on to what it is? This John is, of course, John the Baptist. This baby who would be born to Zacharias and Elizabeth would be none other than the great forerunner. The great forerunner and the preparer of the way, preparing the way for the coming of Jesus. Preparing the hearts of the people to receive Jesus. That is what the angel is saying to Zacharias. Isn't that awesome? This is the one that the prophet spoke about. There's two great passages in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 40, after it says, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." In verse 3 we read, "A voice is calling." Whose voice is it? It was John the Baptist. "A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." What a magnificent prophecy about John the Baptist who would come. And metaphorically speaking, he would level our hearts, prepare our hearts for the coming of the great King and Saviour who we know is Jesus. And you know, in the last two verses of the whole Old Testament, book of Malachi, last chapter, chapter 4, the last two verses, 5 and 6, the angel in verse 17 is actually quoting those two verses. And it says in Malachi chapter 4, 5 and 6, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah," or as the angel says here, "I'm going to send you one in the spirit and power of Elijah before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." What does that mean? That's language to say that John the Baptist would come and he would call people to repentance. He would baptize them as a sign of repentance. He would get their hearts ready to receive Jesus. He did it such a great job there in the wilderness. This is who was going to be born to Zacharias and Elizabeth. He would prepare the way for the Lord. And he'd also talk about the Lord. He would point people to the Lord. He would say things like, surely you know this verse, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He knew who Jesus was. And he not only called people to repentance, but he revealed the glory of Christ. So this is who the angel is speaking of. Now, I'm just going to go back to this word faithful. You know, as I was going through this passage, I never saw it to start with. And then it just hit me and it just melted me. And I just realized, as I see these words, let me remind myself, there's something so magnificent here. It's not just the birth of a baby called John, or this ministry that he would do, the forerunner to Christ. What is being proclaimed here by the angel, shouted so loudly, is this: how faithful is God! After 400 years of silence from Malachi to this period of time, God has not forgotten any of his promises. What's he faithful about? He's faithful in bringing at the right time into his world our Saviour and King. God would be faithful still. And over those 400 years, let me show you how faithful God is. Over those 400 years, if you were God, there's no way you would allow your son to come, because things got worse. The Gentile people became more godless and more wicked. They had more gods. They worshipped Satan. Why would God send his son into the world for them? And his own people became more caught up in self-righteousness and their own laws, turning away from the law of God. Why would God bother with his people of old? The world had become more spiritually dark. We're pretty much in line with Satan and push God right out of the picture. But God is so faithful. He looked at us and he still chose, according to his own promise, to send us a saviour and a deliverer, to bring us hope and life. I just get caught so overwhelmed by God's incredible heart. He's such a faithful God. There's no way I would have done anything for you lot, and you would be the same. I'm just in awe of our God. I want you to see that this morning. And here it is. This is the beginning of it all. Silence is broken. The angel comes. He speaks to Zacharias. It's telling us everything's happening. Everything's on plan A, because he's faithful. Reminds me of the words of Joshua. He's about to die. And Joshua, in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14 says, "Now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls, that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed." That's faithfulness. And that's exactly how it is when it comes to us and God sending his son. Not one of his good words. What a good word from God. "I'm going to send you a saviour. That's a good word. I'm never going to allow that to not happen. It's going to happen because I'm faithful." Praise be to God. Praise his holy name. Without that, friends, we would all be going to hell. we would have no salvation. We're all damned. There would be no hope, no glory, no light. We're wrecked, we're ruined because of the faithful God. Do we have hope? We have salvation in Christ. All right, one more thing to look at in terms of faithfulness. It's involving Zacharias. So we're going to read a little bit more now. So let me read to you verses 18 to 21. Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel." And I've just got to stop there. Our last series was on the book of Daniel. Did you remember how Gabriel comes into that book? And Gabriel's the one who speaks to Daniel about the coming of the Christ, the Messiah Prince. And now he comes again. He's talking to Zacharias. I love that. The angel Gabriel is used by God. The angel answered and said to him, "I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." Ooh, Zacharias gets in trouble. Why does he get in trouble? Because he doesn't have faith. He's just not caught up with the program. He doesn't realize what God is doing. He hasn't heard. "Zacharias, you're going to give birth to the forerunner. The Christ is about to come. You just don't believe. You're worried about how you're old and you know, you can't have a child. God can do all things. He's just not switched on." And you know, I've got to say, that's the majority of our world. The majority of our world do not have faith. They have not believed the word of God. They have not believed the gospel. They have no idea. They have switched their ears off. They have not listened. They do not believe. And we're hurtling towards the second coming of Christ, when it won't be salvation, it will be judgment. And the majority of our world will stand condemned because they have not believed. They have not believed the testimony of the faithful word of God. And what about you this morning, whether you're young or old? Do you believe God's word? Do you have faith in God's Son? Have you put your faith in the Lord? So, as I think about these things, I also want to challenge us with something else. How faithful are we? God's faithful. His word is faithful. Zacharias will get there. Not only are we to have faith, but are we a faithful people? So we know that we live in days where there's going to be a great falling away. We know that we're going to be living in days where many churches, people want their ears tickled. They want another Jesus spoken to them. A Jesus who is accommodating with their way of life and all that kind of thing. We know that we will live in days where there will be such a hostility towards our loving Christ. And people hate Jesus, hate him, and hate you if you love him. And God calls us to be faithful. His word is faithful. He is faithful. Will you be faithful to the end? Will you? You can't do it on your own. You need to first of all put your faith in Jesus and then be fired up and powered up by the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. It's God's Spirit who keeps us in the faith and helps us to remain faithful to the end. I just want to share that with you. So we come now to the end of our first sermon on Luke. But I want to now read these last verses because there's some beautiful words here. Luke 1:21 and 25. The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. I wonder if he wrote down, "By the way, I'm mute because I got in trouble. I didn't believe." Make sure you believe. Anyway, I'm adding that in. Verse 23 says, "When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home." Now listen to these words. "After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favour upon me, to take away my disgrace among men." And as it finishes on a beautiful passage. Zacharias is blowing it. He didn't believe, he gets in trouble. But there's something so beautiful here. I hope you just love this. Our God's not just a faithful God. Our God's not just a powerful God. He's a gracious God. I love that. Zacharias and Elizabeth still have John. It's not like God says, "Right, Zacharias, that's it. I'm going to go somewhere else." Are you glad about that? I am so glad. God does not give up on us. Zacharias would still be the dad of John. And he would still speak when John was born. And I love God's grace. You know, what great characteristics of God we've looked at this morning. God is so faithful. He's faithful to you personally. Take that in. And he's so gracious. He's so gracious to you personally. His grace has no limits. This is the God we come to worship every day. This is the God we've come to love and know. What a faithful and good God and gracious God he is. And that's just the beginning of Luke's gospel. All right, we're going to sing a song now. And it's called Faithful God. Faithful God you are. Do you know the words? You are good to all, steadfast and true. Please stand.
Faithful God, you are good.
Song. You take in the words? It's not just about the music, right? Love the music. But it's about the words. You know, it's good to, when you look at a song, to just, look at things. And I just got a little bit challenged when I sang the third verse. Faithful God, you are Lord of all, worthy of praise. I will serve you with all my heart. I will serve. Oh, I'm not faithful. I need your help. Lord, I need your help to serve you. You know, it says that I will. But our will is so weak. But here's something true. Despite our ups and downs, I will serve you with all my heart, all of my days, or try to,
Then when face to face I see all your glory and majesty, I know this is going to happen. I will fall down and I'll bow my knee and I'll say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, because you've been faithful to me. I love you, Lord, because you've been gracious to me. I love you, Lord, because you sent your own son to die for me, to save me. I love you, Lord. I trust that all of us love the Lord. If we're not there yet, please, please come and see us and we'll have a good chat about Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for all the Bible. The whole Bible is inspired by you. And we thank you that we have the joy of going through the Gospel of Luke. Thank you for your friend, Luke, for him being a doctor, for him being an historian, for him allowing the Holy Spirit to lead him to write this glorious gospel. I feel like I just can't wait to get into it, to behold the birth of Jesus, to behold the Son of Man, the lover of our soul, our friend and brother. I pray for all of us that we'd be enriched in Jesus. When we talk about fixing our eyes on Jesus, we'd have a better and accurate, glorious picture of our Saviour. And Lord, I know that helps us to live life better for him, to get our eyes off everything else onto our wonderful Saviour. May this gospel have a transforming impact upon us all. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you, Lord. I know it's a privilege to be here today after being away. Thank you for looking after us, both us, Colin and I, but also the church family here while we've been away. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.